Sin number two of the nine deadliest sins of communication is called Do Not Disturb, a descriptive title that you're sure to recognize in yourself and others. This sin occurs when we're too busy or too preoccupied, or possibly even too shy to talk with the people around us. And now, here's Ronnie Moore.
Welcome to the next deadliest sin, which is called Do Not Disturb. Listen in as we join the people at the Net.net Internet Company. Bob is walking down the hall with his face buried in a folder. Listen as Janet begins to follow Bob, trying to get his attention.
Oh, Bob, thank goodness. I just spoke to Patty about the sales presentation on Thursday, and she said that Mitchell from Purchasing was going to be there after all, and I know you're kind of busy, but I was hoping that maybe you could help.
Bob walks into his office as if Janet were not there, and he only looks up from the folder after she's already left. Some people may as well have a large Do Not Disturb Me sign posted on their foreheads, for try as you may, they're always too busy or too preoccupied or just too hard to catch. We all know people like Bob, and we've all been in Janet's position. The Do Not Disturb communicator shows an unwillingness to communicate. You might think of this person as the anti-communicator in your life. Anti meaning against communication. So how can we have a clear, positive, productive communication? How can we have a static-free signal if we're not willing to communicate in the first place? Here are the symptoms of the Do Not Disturb communicator. This person's nose is buried in his work. Often the door is closed. This person works behind a closed door. There's nothing inviting. There's nothing that says, come in, talk to me, communicate. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. The door is generally closed. There's little or no small talk or social conventions. When we communicate with others, we communicate on five levels. Level one is social conventions. That's when you get into the elevator, even with people you don't know, and you say, good morning, or how are you? Level two is small talk. That's when you go to the break room, and you're making your coffee, and someone walks in, and you say, oh, how was your weekend? Mine was fine. My kid is entering kindergarten. Kind of a small talk, humanizing things, little revelations about each other. Level three is the information sharing, or the idea sharing level. And that's the level on which we communicate with our boss, with our colleagues, with our staff when we get together and discuss important issues related to work. Level four is the risk level. This is where we risk telling someone that we're unhappy at the office or that we'd love to leave early. And level five is where we trust, and this is where we tell very few people in our lives our innermost secrets. Perhaps our spouse or our best friend knows things about us that no one else knows. And what the Do Not Disturb communicator does not realize is that you can say good morning. You can be polite. You can be human. You can talk about your child's softball game or kindergarten picture without inappropriately revealing things that would be better served at the risk or trust level. But the Do Not Disturb person basically has no communication at all, not even at the very lowest levels, not even at the human level. Perhaps this person is shy, or maybe this person is not comfortable talking with others. Whatever the reason, the Do Not Disturb communicator focuses on everything but the signal. Perhaps on a memo on the desk, or looking out the window, or reading a newspaper, instead of taking in the signal that's being sent. The Do Not Disturb communicator has little time to talk, maybe rushed because clearly there's an avoidance tendency here, or would rather do anything but communicate, and sends the message, be it verbal or nonverbal, that I'm here for business, business, and only business. So what do you do when you work with someone who exhibits this kind of do not disturb me behavior? One solution is to communicate with an appointment mentality. Make a real appointment. This means that just the way you would not go to your neighbor or friend's office downtown, unscheduled, uninvited, stick your head in and say, got a minute? Sit down and take 30 minutes. You should not do it to the person who works down the hall from you. We go down the hall uninvited, unscheduled, unexpected. We stick our heads into the person's cube or office, and we say, got a minute? Sit down and take 30 minutes. And then we wonder why we don't get good, clear communication. We wonder why this person's not giving us his or her full attention. This appointment mentality helps communication even if you're dealing with someone who is not a do not disturb me type communicator. but especially with this type of person, it's critical that you ask in advance for the time you need when you need it, so that when you do show up, you're starting out on a footing of expectation. So call the person and say, I need 20 minutes of your time to discuss blank, and you fill in the blank. Would today at 2 o'clock be okay? If not, what do you have tomorrow? And you set up an appointment, just the way you would for the doctor or for a client, and you go at the appointed time, and you take no more than the allotted time, so that if you really need 20 minutes, perhaps you should ask for 30, so that this way there's no chance of you running over. Because especially with this person, the minute you run over, the minute you show up unexpected, uninvited, unscheduled, you're asking a person who doesn't want to communicate in the first place to give you time that's not been scheduled. With the do not disturb person, be businesslike, be equally businesslike, be friendly, but be persistent. If it's a real issue that really needs confrontation, allowing that person to push you away doesn't resolve the issue. So if you're getting a lot of monosyllables, if you're getting a lot of attention diversion, ask for clarification. If you need more than just a yes or no, ask open-ended questions. For example, what part of this isn't clear? Or how do you think I should do that? In other words, if you ask questions that require more detail, you might get that detail. Make sure that what you're saying is getting in to your receiver. Am I being clear? Am I telling you what you think I'm telling you? Find out what's driving this do not disturb me person. Is it that you're not communicating effectively? Is this person avoiding you, but perhaps is communicative with others? Most importantly, remember your goals. Real issues need real confrontation, and you need to focus not on how you feel personally about this person's rejection of you, but how important it is to resolve the issue. And don't reward this anti-communication, this do-not-disturb-me sin. Don't treat the closed door as a normal, natural thing. Perhaps expressing surprise, your door's closed. Walk in as if it's natural and normal to communicate during the workday. Because you know what? It is. And a constantly closed door and no communication is not the norm. It is not an effective, productive means for people to get along in the workplace. Speaking of getting along, let's replay that earlier vignette about a do not disturb me communicator. But this time, let's notice what happens if Janet uses some of the techniques we've just been talking about.
Oh, Bob. Gosh, you look really busy. But I was hoping maybe you could spare a few minutes to help me with something very important.
I'm very busy this afternoon.
I know you are, but I just spoke to Patty about the sales presentation on Thursday, and she said that Mitchell is going to be there.
Mitchell?
Yes. Listen, Bob, I need 10 to 15 minutes to talk to you about this. Can we maybe meet this afternoon, say 3 or 4, or maybe first thing tomorrow?
I'm very busy this afternoon.
How about 8 or 9 tomorrow morning?
9 would be fine.
Great, thanks. See you then.
At their meeting the next morning, Bob and Janet talk about the upcoming presentation.
Quite a character, once you get on his good side.
So how should I do that? How do I get on his good side?
Well, you don't beat around the bush with this guy. You know, you got to put your cards right out on the table right up front.
So maybe we should move the financial statement to the beginning.
That's a good idea.
Did you notice how, instead of being put off by Bob's behavior, Janet persisted? She focused on her goal of getting the advice she needed to do her presentation. She focused on her goals, and she communicated via the appointment mentality, so Bob could have some control over when he would communicate by picking the best time for him. This way, when Janet came to talk with him, it was expected. Janet was businesslike. She requested clarification as needed, and she welcomed Bob's open, positive communication with her. So Janet got the help she needed, and maybe encourage Bob to communicate more with her in the future. It's interesting to me as I talk about this because I realize now that I was a do-not-disturb-me communicator and didn't know it. These people are not always nasty, impolite, rude, don't-like-people. Often we are do-not-disturb or anti-communicators because we are misinformed. We are operating under a misconception, and this is what happened to me when I started my career more than 15 years ago. I was very young, I was female, and I'm a small person, and consequently, I looked very, very young. I looked like a teenager, and I was concerned that I was going into the workplace as someone right out of school, and I was afraid. that I would not be taken seriously. I would not be credible. I would not get the power or authority to which I aspired. So I kind of inappropriately decided that I would be business, business, business. I would never talk about my personal life. I would never get into personal conversations. I would be there to do the work and nothing more. So I didn't say good morning a lot. I didn't talk about myself. I didn't engage on the social convention or the small talk levels. And I realized over time that people were not talking to me. I was not approachable. I was considered kind of a snob. I was not brought into the loop on things because I gave the impression that I did not want to communicate. This behavior not only created a distance between my colleagues and me, it actually damaged my productivity as well. It's important to understand that we cannot work 8 to 12 hours a day with people and not communicate with them. Communication is not an option when we work with others. It's an integral part of the day, whether we're engineers, teachers, nurses, or journalists. We cannot work with others. We cannot produce as a team if we're not open to communication. So ask yourself, do I ever hang out the Do Not Disturb Me sign? Most of us do from time to time. So how do you avoid committing this sin? Well, clearly, we cannot effectively convey an image of openness and cooperation if we don't feel that inside. Realize that communication at work is part of your job. It's not an off-the-clock, optional activity. Good communication is an integral part of any work team. It's critical that we change our attitude inside so that we can affect positive change on the outside. It's important to understand that even if you're not comfortable with being close, with having personal relationships with people with whom you work, that's okay. You do not have to have close friendships with people at work. And it is okay to separate your personal life and your professional life. It's okay to leave your political views and your religious views at home. In fact, it may be better. However, understand and remember those five levels of communication. Remember that the first two are, number one, the social conventions. The good morning, how are you? Have a nice weekend. Level two, the small talk. Start simply by making eye contact and smiling. You can talk about your child's Little League game. You can listen to someone brag about his or her child's kindergarten picture. You can talk about the frustration of making ends meet. You can say good morning and have a nice weekend without inappropriately revealing things that are better left to the risk and trust levels, the levels that you would share with people you know you are close to. Understand, however, that level three is information and idea sharing, and we can't get to that level with people if we don't even know how to say good morning or have a nice day to them, or talk with them about how we spent our weekend in an appropriate fashion. Also note that sometimes people tend to flip this where they're inappropriate in reverse. Have you ever sat on a bus or in an airplane, and the person next to you, someone you had never met before, within 5 minutes, tells you his or her entire life story and makes you feel uncomfortable because you don't want to know or don't need to know all of this? There are some people who shoot right up to the risk and trust levels when it's clearly inappropriate and you haven't even gotten to know the person yet. Do know that you can be appropriate at levels one and two. You can be human. And what happens is that when we are human, when we understand that social conventions and small talk are part of being human, they're not a waste of time, that when we work with people and we are appropriate, we must be approachable. If you are a supervisor or a manager, approachability is a key to being a good leader. If you want to become a supervisor or manager, you will need this approachability. Another way that you avoid being a do not disturb communicator is to keep your door open unless privacy is essential. Certainly when we have to write something important or we need to concentrate. When we're on a phone call that may be private, then closing the door is fine, but it should be the exception, not the rule. When you're communicating with someone, focus your entire attention on the other person. Put down what you're reading. Don't look out the window. And even if you believe you can listen without looking at the person, some people believe they can listen and have their minds on something else, or they can be looking elsewhere. Understand that your speaker, the sender of that signal, doesn't know that. And people need to feel as if they're being listened to. So schedule the appointment to communicate, when you have more time. In other words, if someone does not schedule with you, kind of bursts in without the appointment, who doesn't know about the appointment mentality, then you schedule the communication. Do what the other person is not doing. But once you commit to that communication, focus your entire attention on that communication and on the other person in it. Make improving communication in your life a have to, not a would like to, or I'll try to do it. You know, it's interesting. Those of us who care about our professions will schedule time to take seminars, go back to school, hone our skills, or get new certification because we have to, because it's part of being a professional. Yet, we don't necessarily schedule time to become better communicators. And no matter what you do, whether you're an engineer, a teacher, a secretary, or a doctor, communication is a critical skill. In fact, communication is the leading cause of interpersonal conflict in any organization. Also break the, if it ain't broke, I don't have to fix it, communication style. If you'll pardon my grammar, what we mean by this is, understand the need for ongoing relationship management with everyone with whom you must work. Understand that when we have our yearly performance reviews, the person who is being reviewed should not walk out of that review angry or frustrated or surprised at what the boss told him or her. Because, in fact, if the boss and the employees have been communicating in an open, positive way throughout the year, shouldn't the annual performance review simply be a written confirmation of what everybody already knows? Relationship management is when you sit down on a regular basis, monthly, weekly, quarterly, and discuss the relationship. Sit down with everyone with whom you work closely, even with people at home, your family, your good friends, and do some relationship management. How are we doing? What could I be doing better? How could I be making this work? Tell others what you need to be happier and more productive. This doesn't mean that you can give others what they want all the time, but understand this really cuts down on a lot of the surprise element. It cuts down on hostility and conflict escalating because people can't or don't feel they can communicate on a regular basis. Again, we sometimes create that shoot the messenger mentality without realizing it. Practice relationship management regularly with everyone with whom you must work and live so that everybody knows where everybody stands and there's an overall feeling of approachability, honesty, and openness. Remember Bob, the manager who had difficulty turning off his own Do Not Disturb sign in the previous vignettes? Let's notice how a little self-awareness and active listening can change his communication habits.
Yeah, can I get back to you on that?
Excuse me, Bob.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to look at the email that I sent you with regard to the Kelly account?
No, Catherine, I haven't had a chance to.
Busy as usual, Bob walks into his office and unintentionally closes the door in Catherine's face. Realizing what he's done, Bob reaches for the door.
I'm sorry, Catherine. I just get so busy with everything.
No, I know you're busy.
But I'm not that busy. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
Listen, I was going to get to my email after lunch today.
Well,
if you have some time now to get me up to speed, we could talk.
That'd be great.
All right. I'm just right here in the middle of this Behringer file, and I've got to get back to him by 2 o'clock, so I'm going to punch. Okay, what was this about the Kelly account?
Yeah, Mr. Kelly called me today because they've been receiving a lot of complaints about their webpage.
As usual, Bob immediately starts looking through some papers, but realizes he needs to focus his attention on Catherine. He closes his folder and makes eye contact with her.
Sorry, old habits die hard. Okay, start again.
Mr. Kelly called today, and he said they've been receiving a lot of complaints about their webpage. So I called the tech guys, and they tell me they won't get a chance to look at it until the end of next week.
After hearing Catherine's problem, Bob makes a few calls and is now in the loop.
Okay. Thanks, Ted. All right, bye-bye. Well, they're going to take a look at Mr. Kelly's page today, and they should be back up and running tonight.
Oh, that is great. Mr. Kelly will be thrilled.
I bet.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah?
Thanks for taking the time to help me out on this one.
No problem.
Good job, Bob. As he said, old habits do die hard, but with effort, he did a great job focusing completely on Catherine and her problem. This is the cornerstone of relationship management. Bob is well on his way to discarding that do not disturb sign that many of us carry around. If you need to deal with someone else who is exhibiting this behavior, think about how you will handle this situation in the future. Will you communicate via an appointment mentality? Will you persist with your goals clearly in mind? Or if you find yourself in the do not disturb me mode, how will you open up and send a clear signal that you are ready, willing, and able to talk? Will you work to master the 5 levels of communication, especially level 3 that facilitates the pathway to information and idea sharing? Can you open your door and focus completely on the person with whom you're communicating?
This concludes Side 2. The 9 Deadliest Sins of Communication will continue on Side 3 as Ronnie Moore introduces the common communication sin we call tuning out. Thanks for listening.